This week's episode has been brought to you by the paid subscribership of Thomas. You too could be a hero like Thomas by going to thedadpodcast.com and contributing to the show via Patreon or PayPal. All of that helps, or just tell friends. Enjoy the show.
Listen to me, listen to my words as they vanish. Let's go chase the sun.
Holy fuck my ass, shit Christ. Oh my gosh, that was bad. I'm sorry. That was, there's what that was. That was uncalled for. And I'll tell you, if you were offended by the cursing I just did, if I hadn't already started the show three times already, I would have started it again. But you see, comedy only comes in threes. That was something that was only enjoyed by our live listeners. That's right. So if you ever want to, I mean, as if I don't screw things up enough, just here, if you would just like to be able to participate and watch the clusterfuck happen behind the scenes. Good golly gosh.
Those poor people, they turn play on their machine and they hear you spewing filth.
I always like the idea too that of the time this is
and by the way, that was nothing to what you were saying. You know, before you put the mic on, toned it down.
I felt like adding the Christ word at the end, I kind of feel bad about. But anyway, when I say kind of, I mean I feel bad about. But my point was is that I like that if this is the first episode that somebody is finding, know what I mean? They're tuning in and then they hear, you pointed, is that somebody who in the chat room?
Steve in the chat room says he doesn't listen live often, but oh my God. It was worth it this time.
Yeah, the live listeners in the chat room got a good, I hope a good chuckle out of everything.
I certainly did.
I'm a little flustered. I'm working a part-time job. I think at some point we'll have to talk about it.
I think so. There's warrants investigation.
But to add to that, I don't know how you guys come in. And here's the thing. Maybe it would be a smart person would probably not speak out loud, but I like to talk about what is fresh and on my mind. It seems to be that is the most fun part of the show and for maybe me doing it, but I think that the people listening also enjoy it. Yeah. And so if my in-laws find this and are frustrated, please come talk to me face to face. And I apologize for doing it behind your back on the worldwide on the web. But my sister-in-law is here staying with us in what I call the back nine. She's occupying all of our servants. and it's like, I mean, come on. I got a part-time job. It's not full-time.
Right.
Interesting that my help is more employed than I am. I just realized they work full-time. I only work part-time. Anyway, so she's in the back, and everything has been fine. You know, it's totally fine. And I have a weird hang-up. And I don't know if other people out there are wired like me.
Yeah.
And here's where it comes from. When I was a kid, I never had parties. My parents left out of town, went on trips, and I was trusted a lot. And I never had a party. I had a group of about 4 to 5 high school friends that, you know, whatever nerdy version of – it was somewhere between 90210 and Dazed and Confused, if that makes sense, was my motley crew of friends when I was in high school. And they were like, your parents are out of town. I said, let's go to my house, watch a movie. I'll buy a pizza. I always had the job. So I always had the money. Gotcha. So I was like, we'll get some food and blah, blah, blah. So everybody's going to come over. And a couple of them are like, we should have a party. Let's have some people over. I go, negative. Right. My parents are not cool with that. And I'm not going to let that happen.
I don't remember giving permission for a party, Joel.
What is that from?
Oh, Risky Business.
Oh, okay.
When you're a man of my advanced years, that is your party reference.
So was that something you were reading on the cards, that Risky Business, or was that actual talkies then?
Yeah, it was talkies.
It was talkies. Yeah. Okay, good to know. So anyway, so then they said, let's look through your dad's liquor cabinet and get some booze. I said, no, my father will know. And I said, they go, no, there's no marks on the bottles. I said, he doesn't need marks. They're all in his head. They're all locked up in his dome. And I don't need this bullshit in my life.
Right.
You know, kind of thing. So then they so they stay the night anyway, and I was so proud.
Yeah.
Because what you don't realize as a child is, when talking to adults, is that their bar is very different. See, my parents didn't realize all of the, you know, advances I had batted away, all the horrible ideas that I had rejected,
right.
And that the one I settled in on, where all of us were just going to crash at the house like it was Airbnb before its time.
Yeah.
And a couple of my friends who slept in their bed, and I made it very clear, because I was dumb and expected them to be just as responsible, which I don't think happened, but
yeah.
I said, listen, you guys could crash in my parents' bed, but no sex. Do not.
Yes.
Because they will know. And it's not okay. Mm-hmm. And they were like, totally fine. And they didn't. But what I did not account for is that we cleaned up the house and made everything nice.
Yeah.
But no one can make a bed as good as my mother. And so when my mother came home, my dad would have never noticed. But my mom was like, somebody else made this bed. Somebody's been in her bed. And my dad's like, what do you mean? And he like pulls the sheets back. He's like, no. And she goes, no, somebody else made this bed.
You know what? That would be Luna.
And so my father pulled me aside and said, what did you do in the house? And I said, nothing. I just had some friends over. He goes, were they sleeping in my bed? I said, yeah, two of them were. He goes, you let people have sex in my bed? No, no. I made it very clear. He goes, well, how do you know? I go, because I trust them. Which is so stupid coming. Yes. I was 16, maybe 17 at the time.
Right.
And so then he goes off on me and he was like, you know, we don't know these people. They, for all you know, they could be stealing shit from us. Or, right. You know what I mean?
Right.
And at the time I was like, oh, that sucks because I know my friends and my friends would never do that. Mm-hmm. But and I always thought it was about the fact that my dad doesn't know my friends.
Yeah.
And then as a grown up, I've now learned that it's not about so much the worry of having theft happen in his house. You know, I've talked about on the show, my dad committed insurance fraud when he was super broke, but the it was more, I think it was what he was trying to teach me was that there is a level of respect that you have to have because this is not your property.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't right. The one working. I'm pretty sure they both had part-time jobs at that
right.
time.
Well, you know,
to pay a mortgage.
Yeah, sure.
So anyway, I didn't get that until recently. I came home and there was a stranger in my backyard.
Oh, wow.
And so I go, hey, hold on a minute.
Right, right.
I don't know this person. And thankfully, immediately afterwards, before anything got weird, my niece came out and was, you know, interacting with this. It was another girl or whatever. So I was okay. Like, oh, okay. But there's a part of it. And here's the thing. I'll be fully honest is that there's a part of me that thinks that I'm wrong here. But I just don't believe that that could be possible.
Yeah, well.
How could I be wrong, Paco?
Well, I need to hear a little bit more, but already.
No, I think I've played it out pretty okay. much clear.
How
irregardless
how old
of
is the, yeah, right. How old is the girl?
She's, I don't know, early 20s, late teens.
I mean, and was she sleeping in your bed? I mean, she was just like standing in your backyard. No,
this.
I am taking it way too seriously. I'm sorry. I say just wait because they're going to be bringing home a whole bunch of strays.
Well, here's the thing. It's not that it's a girl. It's not. It would be different if it was my kid. But it's that. It's just that this is somebody I have no idea who they are.
Yes.
I didn't know they were in my house.
Right.
Somebody else that was not someone that I fornicate with on a completely legal basis.
Yes.
Brought them into the house without me knowing. You know what
okay.
I mean? Like if your
yes.
name here, this is my rule of thumb. As much as I joke.
Yes.
When your name is on the deed, you get carte blanche. You know what I mean?
Yes. You see, I don't subscribe to that same frame of mind that your father does. However, house guests don't get any blanche.
Right.
So, no.
Which would then have them succumb to my ruling.
I would tend to say that you are overreacting. I think it would have been better. I'm assuming that someone who is just out of their teens.
Well, here's the thing. Overreacting yes. would have been me taking my 12 gauge and going, who the fuck are you?
Right.
And why are you in my backyard?
Okay.
I didn't react really at all. I just kind of went. So I sent my wife a message and I said, hey, did you get a heads up that they were having someone over?
Yes.
And here's the thing. It's not that I think this girl is bad. It's not that I think she's a horrible person. It's that
yeah.
it is. And it's that weird thing where you have your parents drill you with stuff and then you become an adult and then
yes.
things start clicking as to why they were drilling you with that kind of
well,
stuff.
Well, but this is what I mean by more questions. Is this a person who was just visiting for the moment or a person who's an additional guest for over a period of time or even over
no one knows.
Single night.
You see, and here's the thing. If more people were right, like me, and subscribe to the your name on the deed, you call the shots theory,
right.
then you would there would be a convention in place to say, hey, we're bringing somebody over to your house.
Okay. When did all this happen?
Yesterday.
And is that person still here?
They are on the other side of that wall, right?
No, no, is the stranger still here?
No.
Okay.
Because here's my theory, yes. And this is all speculative. This is what I've learned from Booker about interacting with my in-laws. If you want to go back, and I can't even remember what episode number it is, but it's pretty recent,
yeah.
Where you could hear him rail on me about how great my mother-in-law is and how horrible I am for thinking that she's insufferable. But that it's this thing with me where I go, I say, okay, so you brought this person I don't know. You didn't say, hey, is it cool?
Right.
Now, because here's the thing. In all honesty, she could have said, hey, is it cool if we bring somebody? I say yes.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean you skip the convention.
I understand. Listen, I know I'm taking it way too seriously, but here's my Solomon-like opinion, truthfully. If it was a day guest, they're not really under a tremendous obligation to ask permission.
Oh, yes, they are. In my fucking house, they are.
I know that you're... I'm not here to restate your position. I'm just giving you my side of it, which is simply that a visitor is a visitor if they were going to be staying over the night. They absolutely are required to go.
So you had somebody staying in your house, a friend, and then they bring somebody over while you're out of your house. They bring somebody over that you don't know.
Yes.
And you come home and you find this other person. You're like, oh, great, more people to feed. That's cool. Yay.
Well, but that's why
the sarcasm that I can't help but get out of my voice.
No, I know you're even as you ask the question, you're sort of mocking my position. But again, I feel like I need. Am I feeding this person? Is they? You know,
right? I don't know this person. I don't know if I have to.
You don't know at the at the moment. You don't know. But by now you know what their story was, or you still don't know.
No, I know what the story is, Dinah, now. Okay. I'm taking the listener with me on the journey.
I understand. Okay, but the truth doesn't help your position, or it gets worse, or
well, here's
know.
The thing. All I'm talking
from what
about
you've described so far, I don't care.
You don't care. You just go,
no.
Eh.
No, I go, hey, hi, bye-bye, introduction, so on and so forth. I'm assuming that it will come up, and I'll go, hey, I would actually say, am I feeding you, or what's going on
now,
here?
Now, by that logic, yes. My first thought was, if I could adapt your mentality, yes. I would have so much less gray hair.
Well,
but you being bald means that maybe it's even worse, and I have less hair even, you know what I mean?
You fucker.
Now listen, that is not a stab. I'm just saying, you are a great looking bald man.
Oh, well, thank
you. Bald goes good with your head. If I am bald, I don't think it goes well. I used to shave my head when I, not cool, like skin shave bald, like I had a buzz cut when I was a kid, and I look like I had been rejected by the army. That's what I look like. So anyway, so I send Natalie an email at work, and I say,
I look like I've been rejected by the Stooges. But anyway, go on.
I send Natalie an email. I say, hey, did your sister say anything about bringing a friend? Because I don't know if this person is a night guest or whatever.
Right.
And I'm flawed in my wiring, in my own opinion. But not enough, as you have pointed out to me, not enough for me to try to change that part of my wiring. Because there's a part of it that...
None of us really want you to change that.
I don't think so. Nobody does. There's already people who are... What the fuck is couch surfing? I just saw that. But there are people already weighing in on the chat room who are saying, no, I agree that it's just, it's common courtesy.
It's definitely a common courtesy.
Right. So I send her, and then Natalie goes, no. Because if Natalie says, oh, yeah, she told me, I go, great. I go out. I say, hey, how are you? You know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
And then they see me at the house. Like, they see that I'm there. Nobody comes into the house. That's the part to me that it's like, if I brought somebody over to your house and I see you there, and I don't think there's something wrong with that, then I just go, hey, what's going on? You know, like, or if I'm staying at your house for 3 weeks, and to be honest, they went and they got groceries and stuff, and we had a nice meal. It was very nice. They got steaks and all that stuff. Okay. It was very nice. But if I'm staying at your house, then you know what I mean? Like, I'm coming in and I'm involved, and not in the way of getting in the way, but I'm going to be like, hey, what can I do to help you out? Because I want to quid pro quo.
Yeah.
And, but that's also my acts of service love language talking, I think. Fair to say.
Yes, yes, yes.
So here's what boils down. This poor young lady who is she's going to a community college in Mission Viejo from Texas.
Okay.
And she came here without a place to live and does not have a job. And she's a week late for the cheerleading thing or whatever.
Yeah, you didn't tell her you had a part-time job, did you?
I didn't want to rub it in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think that's
she's better. Already couch surfing as it is. Poor thing. I mean, she's basically a vagabond.
Gotcha.
So here's the thing that's wrong. And I'm not trying to talk about this girl. I don't want to talk about this girl. I want to talk about my reaction to me and this situation is that. So what I find out is now they've brought somebody that I do not know, that they do not know, into my house. Now, again, It's not the theft. I don't honestly think that this girl is going to steal anything from me, or that I have.
Like there's anything here to steal.
Exactly. I don't have anything to steal or anything like that. But then it's like when Natalie comes home, this because I've been working nights at a part-time job.
Yeah.
I've been working nights that Natalie comes home. She has to literally get off at 5:45 so she can go get the kids before 6 and then come home, make dinner, get them bathed, and get them in bed by 7:30 so that they're asleep by 8 and everything moves like the well-oiled machine that Daddy likes it to be.
Right.
Otherwise, somebody gets a little roughed up. No, I'm kidding. So that's what she's dealing with. And then I guess I found out that she's texting her sister. That's not her sister's fault, but she's texting her sister going, dinner's ready if you'd like. I'm like, whoa. Okay, hold on. This is what's wrong with me again.
Yeah.
So you get to stay at my house for 3 weeks, and I'm under some obligation to provide meals for you.
Yeah.
When BT Dubs... Not that it bothers me, but BT Dubs, I did not invite you. I did not say, hey, come. I've had friends who will say, I don't want to,
right.
No, come stay for a couple weeks. We got a fucking room. It just sits there. Let's hang out, do it for a month. Yeah. And that's very different. I will not invite you into my house for 3 weeks and then bitch about you being here for 3 weeks. I'm not even frustrated that they're here, but it's just there's a different dynamic when you come to me and say, hey, I need a solid. And I'm like, you got it. Johnny on the spot. Come get some.
Okay.
And so then come to find out that there was supposedly this promise that the girl would have places to stay at with other cheerleaders, families or at their own places.
Yeah.
And those fell through.
Yeah.
I love my wife's reaction of like, well, where are her parents? Why is this everybody else's job?
Right. Well, that's definitely what I say when I'm driving everyone's kids around. I go, don't they have parents? How can I be the only parent with a car?
Yeah, but you won't let your kid get an Uber, though. Are you less worried about some other adult?
No, he did it. I'd rather him be in an Uber than be...
With somebody else's parent or somebody else's kid?
Somebody else's kid. I mean, the thing was, hey, I want to drive on prom night. I want to drive, 60 minutes up PCH along the cliffs. I want my teenage friend to be driving. I'm like, no.
Yeah, no. I like to think, how I'm this is you
and
just
I said,
added.
That kid can drive you home the next day. Don't care in the light of day.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Prom night. I don't want to see you go into the ocean.
Because somebody spiked the punch bowl, or it's just you feel like human beings' vision is not as good at night?
It's late.
Yeah.
Listen.
Roadhead is very distracting.
As a fully grown man.
I apologize.
All right. As I think I said before.
Roadhead is very distracting. You're zipping in and out of lanes. You're trying to,
Exactly.
You're doing the bit of jerking the wheel back and forth like they do on TV, but you're doing it so fast, things can happen.
I forgot what I was going to say. It doesn't matter. Go on. Can't remember what it was.
That's all right. So for me, to get back to this point, is that when Natalie's like, where are her parents? Is that here's the thing. I think this is my assumption.
Yeah.
I never talked to this girl. I'm sure she's very lovely, very delightful. Again, I am just trying to talk about what is wrong with my wiring and my baggage for the sake of throwing it out there on a podcast, because maybe my honest opinion is there are people listening to this more often than not that are very like-minded with me and kind of looking, it's a little weird.
Right.
And that, to me, I feel like what happens is that she goes, I know we live in Texas, but I'm going to go to a community college in Southern California because Southern California, in this girl's opinion, is much more preferred to Texas.
Okay.
Say, right?
All right.
Mom and dad say, sound like a solid plan. We're not footing the bill, though, now. Because the new convention is mom and dad's pay for college. My kids, I'm not paying for shit for their college.
Okay.
So that's where I also differ.
I don't think that's going to be a problem.
Wait, are you saying? Because it sounds like.
It doesn't matter what you think it is.
What it sounds like you're saying is that you're insulting my children's intelligence and that they will not go to college. But what I think you're saying is that, just so we're clear, is that I think what you're saying is that my children will be so adept that they won't need my support to go to college.
Right.
They will handle it on their own.
Or there's a third possibility.
Okay.
That you will be completely incapable of helping them with college.
Oh, no, that's
insolvency.
That is complete. Oh, I could help them. Okay. I could help them now. College is paid for. I could pay for college now, but I will not.
Okay, very good. Very good. Whichever one offends you more, that's the one I meant. That's
oh, that's interesting. So anyway, so now I think that that's what I think that she's like, well, I'm going to go, but then without having a plan, because I just feel like if you're a go-getter, you don't go across two states without some kind of a game plan.
Yeah.
You know,
or
something
that's more solid than
couch surfing.
Couch surfing, you know, on the goodwill of those you barely know
right.
or don't know at all.
Right.
Yes.
And so I think, and this is entirely speculation, I'm
yeah.
making this up,
mm-hmm.
But I think, so then sister came inside.
Yeah.
Girls did not. Girls stayed out in the back house. Sister came in, and then it kind of came up, was like, oh, well, who's the so-and-so or whatever?
Right, right.
And she goes, oh, she tells me the whole story I just told you. And then I said, well, does she have a car? And kind of going, well, then where's she staying tonight? Because what I thought was interesting was yeah. when my sister-in-law brought up the fact, she goes, she says, well, because they're providing an apartment for their daughter to go to school, which is fine. That's
yeah.
your, she goes, so you know she will not be staying at your apartment because I am paying for the rent and I get to have a say in that. And what I made my tongue bleed over is because it's interesting, because I seem to be paying the mortgage here.
Right.
And yet I do not seem to have a say
yeah.
in who arrives at my house.
I see.
But so, and I think it's, I think what she was kind of throwing it out there, because I said, well, where does she have a car? And she goes, no, she just came out. And I go, well, then how's she, where's she staying tonight? Is what I said. And sister said, I got volunteer to drive her back to Mission Viejo. And this is what I think is interesting. And you might be able to take a page from this book as
No.
In that,
yeah.
How is it that you could be the grown adult who pays for everything and you get volunteered and then are obligated to make a 5-hour, 4-hour round trip to Mission Viejo to drop somebody off? Like, even if the kid's 18 now and going to college, still footing the bill.
You know,
I could have no qualms looking at my kid and go, oh, it sounds like you fucked up. Sounds like you wrote a check your ass can't cash.
Right, right.
So you can go ahead and get in my car that I'm paying for because you didn't buy a car? You didn't get one? My bad. My bad.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Maybe, then you know what it is my bad as your father because I did not explain to you that you don't volunteer my shit.
Right, right, right. Well, yes, it's getting exponentially more complicated and sounds like a drag, but...
But that was what happened yesterday.
Oh, okay.
That was what happened before I went to work, after I came home from work, and then and that's why I did not have time to do a quickie episode, because I decided I need to be more of a dad while having a dad podcast, as I've said. This part-time job is really just doing a number on me.
Yeah.
I will beat this to death, by the way. So I don't know. Send me an email. Let me know what you think. If you think I'm crazy, I'm looking at the people who are in the chat room, and it seems like everybody that I could see, it sounds like I'm having selective vision. But I do spend most of my time looking at Paco, and the only yes. way I could look at the chat is to look away at Paco and completely
right.
ignore him.
Well, that's feel free to completely ignore me.
But I have, we'll do something, this is for you. You like the words. Yes, yes?
Yes, I do. I do.
So, this is another one for you. We'll do this one first.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. How do I set this up? It's got a great headline, and it fits. It's like they wrote an article for you to laugh at.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
You know, we joke a lot about on the show, and here's
me
the thing.
In particular.
In all seriousness.
Yes.
I think that, and I've said it to you, and I hope I've said it on the show, because I do believe it, is that I think you are a very good husband.
Oh.
I think you are a very good father. I think your family
you.
Is very lucky to have you.
You've made that much clear.
That is my my God's honest opinion, and I think the downfall of your great heart is your great heart, because it seems like
right.
people who are overly kind always seem to be the people that nobody really goes,
I understand.
Look at this guy! And maybe we do it all for humor.
It is both,
I don't know.
My asset and my deficit
yes.
or something like that. Yeah.
Because I think, in my opinion, that everybody over there should be nothing but patting you on the back and just massaging you constantly.
I
and
understand.
Going, wow, we're so lucky to have this great guy who drives us everywhere we need
they
to go.
They should be bringing in Texas teenagers, cheerleaders
yes.
to rub my,
yes.
to rub my
well,
feet.
Well, you could run a halfway house. Airbnb that
go.
Shit. You're much more loosey-goosey about
That's
it than
true.
I am.
That's
I,
true.
You could listen. I bet you could cover your mortgage and then some. So here's the thing. This I'll just read the headline now. I think I've set it up.
I
amply.
Think so.
31% of what? I'll do this guess. 31% of what for their pets? What do they do for their pets? 31% of people, pet owners, one would assume.
Chew their food.
No, but I like you. I like where your head's at. Cook for their pets. Can you imagine what that would do to your afternoon if you not only had to make meals for every member of your household,
right.
but you also had to make meals for every member of
right.
your household?
Right. That's funny. Well, I fall one step short of that because each of those animals does eat a different food.
You gotta be kidding. No. Please tell me that's a joke.
No, it's not a joke.
I love you.
Because the Chihuahua, it's a small breed version of a kibble that the
but you have two small breed dogs.
Yeah, but the second one, yeah, that would work if the second one didn't come to us with some kind of lifelong urinary tract problem.
So you have to have cranberry sauce in the food or something?
She eats some medicated food.
Just put cranberry sauce in it.
Yeah, maybe that's what we should. I don't think I understand enough about what's going on.
Bangs it on my wife every time. What's up? What happened? What I do? I don't understand. Is it weird in here?
Yeah, it's a little. So they all eat something different.
That's great. 71% of you fall into this. 71% of pet owners let their pets sleep with them in bed. Mm. That includes 81% of cat owners compared to 73% of people with dogs. So of those people,
more cats sleep with their owners than dogs sleep with theirs. But it's a negligible difference.
Our dog has moments where he sleeps with us. And it's always interesting to me. One of the things I always want to do when I had the dog first and then the child comes, this is what I find fun about being a father that I did not follow through on. Mostly because that big ass dog will sometimes smell and I don't want to put them on the couch.
Yeah.
But when he was a littler dog and it was just us, I would let him get up on this couch we had. And then I had to teach him to not get on the couch because I wanted to have the idea of when the kids got old enough, like they are now, and then we'd be getting sit down. I'd go, what are you doing? Get off the couch. And then put the dog on the couch and make the kids. But I never got that opportunity. But the dog does occasionally, like it makes requests to sleep in the room with us. And then it's very interesting because my wife barely gets sleep as it is. And now she's bringing this snoring animal into the room, which I think is very cute with the way he's like, he sleeps like he's running a marathon. Like he is a champion sleeper and he wants you to know the effort he's putting into it. I should record it one night. 64%.
You record your dog and I'll record Luna.
Then we'll have a guessing game.
Yeah,
I wish we could do a Pepsi challenge of that for ourselves. Like, I don't know. 64% buy presents for their pets during the holidays. Do you guys do that?
We used to do it a little bit, but it's not serious. It's just whatever.
What would be serious? Like,
like wrapping it or taking, you know, opening it for them or. You know, I mean, they when the kids were young, the animals did have stockings when the kids cared more about stockings. So there'd be a thing or two in there.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah.
See, I do the pet. Rocky gets a little. Rocky has a stocking, too. But it's only because the kids feel like he needs to be he and I like supporting that. I like supporting the spirit of giving in them.
Yes.
Even though I'm like, he's a dog. He doesn't even know. All he knows is that tastes good. And I want to chew on it.
Right. Right.
Maybe that's also what's flawed with me. That'll be another episode. This is including 70% of women and 58% of men. Those are the ones that buy gifts for their dog. He also gets a birthday present. We'll do that. 45% have bought their pet a birthday present. That's me. 31% have cooked for them. As I said. Mm. 22% have dressed them up in an outfit.
I don't like that.
Yeah. But I feel like with your cute dogs, I feel like Luna has maybe put on an outfit or two.
I will say the following, that we do have...
I'll say the following.
I don't consider this falling into the category of outfit, because outfit to me sounds like a whim.
Uh-huh.
There's a certain impracticality of it.
Uh-huh.
So we do have a rain slicker for one of them, and I think the Chihuahua might have some sweaters, but she gets cold.
You know what's great about that statement is that the man in you cannot say, my dog's got a rain slicker. Like, can't get it out. There's a caveman that lives in you that says, a rain slicker. But the you and you, I do this all the time. I do this stuff like this all the time. But the you and you goes, but it gets cold and needs a sweater. Like that
right,
you get, you bounce back from
right.
rain slicker. But it gets, this Chihuahua needs a sweater.
I didn't buy any of these things and I'm not in support
and
of either of them.
Now we're back down to caveman. I didn't pay for it. But I do like that it's warm. It makes me sleep better knowing. I love it. 12%, this is interesting, have brought their pet to work. We had a host at the station that did that. Mm. That I always Here's the thing. I think it's cool. Like everybody says, you could bring your dog. People bring their dog to Google and you know shit. Like by the way, right. Everybody should be working at Google because I feel like they have ping pong tables and arcades. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
And is it because they have a machine that does all the work?
It's because they none of them really.
Is it
do
because
anything?
They once? Because I feel like once they figured out the spell check and like, did you mean hot Asian midget? You know what I mean. Once they figure out that, how much work is there really to do?
I don't know.
So now that's they get to enjoy petting their dog at work and right. A free Starbucks and a ping pong table. But the people who are allergic, they must be so angry. Like, what if you're just a phenomenal software engineer, but allergic to dogs or cats?
See,
you're effed.
Where? I'm sorry, this is completely beside the point.
That's fine.
But you can't even say the word peanut on an airplane anymore.
Right.
Which doesn't make sense because it's not like they completely vacuum every molecule out of it before the person who's allergic gets on. But what happens to the service dogs? When somebody calls ahead and says, I have a peanut allergy, there is not a peanut.
Yeah.
There's not anything on that
right.
plane. If I call ahead and say, I'm allergic to dogs, what happens to the person with the service animal?
I don't know. I've had that thought multiple times because there are people who, and I think it's because nobody has gone into an anaphylactic shock over a dog or a cat.
Maybe.
And so therefore that's why I'm with you. I don't understand it.
Well, I think it's that every thinking American should be calling ahead with or without animal allergies and making that statement to the airline to force them into the position where they have to make it.
I have a dog allergy.
They would have to decide ahead of time. They don't know that you're not going to fall over.
And then if I have a dog allergy, you know how like if somebody has a peanut allergy, they replace it with pretzels. So if I have a dog allergy, does that person's German Shepherd get replaced with a hairless cat of some kind?
Exactly.
This will now be your anxiety animal on this.
Right. <It's> like,
fucking hairless cat that makes you look like a Bond villain while you're enjoying your peanuts, ironically.
Right.
This I love. 12% have bought their pet health insurance. Now, here's the thing.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Because it can be cost effective, especially if you got like a urinary tract thing with your dog. And here, I want to make it clear, so you could stop writing. I'm sorry if you've already like 3/4 of the way through your email that you want to send. But I'm not saying that you can't love animals. I'm never going to say that. I get it. And I think a lot of this stuff, in my opinion, applies to the people who don't have kids. And I'm not saying that I'm better than them, because I think as human beings, we like to care for things and that's in us. And I think it's great because the last thing I think any of us would want is somebody shitting out a kid because they need something to care for. That I would much rather you, when you still kind of want to do things your own, you know what I mean? Like you want to be your own person and not have to deal with kids. You know, am I making sense?
No, I get it. I think that those are people who either A, got the animal before there were kids in their lives.
Yes.
Or B, got the animal after the kids were older and there was no more babies coming.
Oh, good point.
Because it's that instinct of the baby. And if
people who don't want kids or can't have kids,
right.
And then they treat the dog like the kid. I'm okay
with that.
If you
got the
dog
first and you started pampering it and then kids became part of your picture, you probably still continue to pamper the dog.
Yeah. I agree wholeheartedly. And I'm really tempted. I don't know if he's busy, but Kevin in the chat room was saying that his mother-in-law wraps gifts for their dogs
even
after they have had kids.
Okay.
And I would love to, if you are not in a cubicle, Kevin, please give us a call at 877-222-8323 because I would love to hear those kinds of stories of what kind of things, like what's going, because here's the thing. I always have this, when people are happy like that, I always, whenever I talk about it unintentionally, and I mean this, I'm not trying to cover my ass. I mean that like I unintentionally sound like I'm shitting on them. And really what I'm doing, honestly, if I'm being completely transparent, is that I am I'm kind of jealous of their happiness. Like, don't you wish you could be so happy around the holidays and so giving that you would just give dogs gifts as a present?
Give that number again more slowly, apparently.
877-222-8323. Oh, great. We're going to talk to Kevin about his mother-in-law. While we're waiting for that call to come in, this is another fun one for you, Paco. The most popular swear words in different states. So I feel like this has taken your love of wordplay and my love of foul language and put our hands together in what is probably my love of surveys and lists.
I just licked my my.
Well, you're excited. You can't help it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. I just cleaned them, so it's totally fine.
Okay, no, I just want everyone to understand that what I licked was the microphone cover. That's what I licked.
Oh, okay. All right. Do you think that they heard it and they thought?
I don't.
Or you were salivating? No, no, no. You're having a Pavlovian response to
saying, I licked something, and so I want everyone to understand. Oh, okay. I gotcha.
So let's see. We're a country that loves swearing, except our friends at the FCC. On that note, we're going to. Oh, this I don't have. This comes from a radio prep service that I have, so I don't have to be careful because this is the fucking internet. But a new study analyzed almost a billion tweets to figure out which parts of the country are most likely to use different swear words. Interestingly, it was conducted by a professor from the University of South Carolina. Go Cox. Anyway, here are the results. Ironic that they're called Cox. That's good.
That is.
A-hole, asshole is the biggest in the Northeast and almost non-existent in the Bible Belt. People don't say asshole in the Bible Belt. I wish that they, the C word, I guess, cunt, right?
Yeah.
Is wildly popular in New England. I think that's interesting because England says cunt and it's not such an offensive term in England.
But I'm not really, at this point, I think there's no longer really much of a connection between England and New England.
Really?
I think
You don't think they're the same people?
Well,
you mean to tell me that people in New England aren't drinking tea and very reserved about their feelings about Tom Brady?
Well, no, they are a passionate people. No, I'm not saying I have trouble believing that they use it, but in England they use it in a different way.
Oh, okay.
It's not meant in that same
But
way.
What? How? This is what I think.
It's
is
meant like asshole.
I think. Yeah. I think. But that's what I mean. It's like, can't we all just agree? Like, isn't it? Why is it that we get so hung up about specific words? Like, here's what I think. I think there are women listening to the show that are more offended by me saying the words moist panties than cunt. If that makes sense.
Right.
Welcome to the show for anybody who's listening for the first time. Right. By the way, coming up in the next hour, Scott Beeson's interview, everybody. We're going to shoehorn that back in.
Yeah.
Luna, we're going to set him up strong.
Luna, by the way, would not want any of that. Moist panties or
cut. I feel like I added moist to kick it over the notch, but I feel like that's panties is a really harsh one.
There's a lot of people who don't like the word moist.
Really? Yeah. Oh, yes. I remember there was another survey that I did not read on this show. I love surveys, evidently. I don't read these. I read these because I always find it's interesting when there's a common thing about human behavior.
Yes.
And to contrast that, when there's something that you're like, oh, that's not what I would think. Like, I would not assume that everybody in northern Michigan and New England would be throwing around the C word. People in the Bible Belt use it the least. So they don't say asshole, but they use cunt very sparingly in the Bible Belt.
They use it the least, not at all.
Yeah, so it says it's almost non-existent, but of all places in the Bible Belt, they use it the least is where. Wow. I wonder if the Bible Belt is universally, that's going to make this thing blow up in my face.
Yes.
Darn, I guess damn is popular in the Midwest, specifically Kansas, Nebraska, Iowa, and northern Minnesota. If it is darn, that's not a real curse word. That's not, but it also fits with everybody's impression of the Midwest. Like, oh, darn it.
Yeah.
Watch your mouth there. Yol? I don't know why Yol is. I gave him like an Amish name. No one uses it in New York or Boston because they're too busy saying cunt and asshole all the time. The fuck is popular along the coasts and borders with Mexico. Fuck you, El Chapo. But not in Utah, Oklahoma, or Tennessee. Oh, Butcher Drew. Ease up on the fuck. You're offending people. Shit is popular along the Atlantic coast and all through the South. It's least popular in the Midwest and New England. Interesting.
That C word
really kicks it up a notch for them, right?
Yeah.
Bitch has almost the same pattern. It's huge in the South and virtually non-existent in the Midwest. I'll tell you why. A lot of bitchy women in the South. Midwestern chicks.
I was going to say something different, but I'm glad I didn't say anything at all.
Midwestern chicks, known for their politeness, they're not bitchy at all. They're just, lovable.
They're just cunts.
Wow, Paco swinging for the fences.
Sorry.
No, it's great.
Oh, my God.
Especially, do you wish you had that whiskey to make it to where you didn't have to take that back? Especially place, how much of that Gentleman Jack is left, BT Dubs?
Oh, there's a good half.
Okay, so you still got half a bottle.
No, I'm not.
I was curious because we originally had talked about it just kind of being here.
Yeah.
And then one day you took it with you. I didn't care, but it was very humorous to me that you're like, I'm just coming with me.
I did enjoy some at home on an occasion or
good
two.
Good for you, man.
I figured if it's over here, I don't have that option.
Yeah.
Right.
Especially places like Wyoming, South Dakota, Montana, and Utah.
And with the stream of hobos that you have coming through the yard, right? I thought it'd be better not to have a bottle.
It's not safe here. Kids are going to be drinking it. Damn is pretty much... See, why would they say darn up there and damn? So it is darn. Damn is pretty
More
much
importantly,
only...
why would they start their article with the finale rack?
Yeah.
You work your way up to those big ones. Because at this point... When they get to heck, who's going to care
right.
about what? How many people say it?
Ooh, I wonder if heck is even on this. I purposely did not read this because I wanted to be able to react to it live, to be honest. Damn is pretty much only popular in the South and is barely used in the Northwest or Midwest. Fuck, they're coming back around for that. Fuck, that's a slur against... Oh, I'm sorry. They mean... this is interesting about me.
Uh-oh.
I am not comfortable saying the F word in reference to gay people.
I would. Yeah, no, that's funny that you even call it the F.
And here's why. Here's why. Because I do. Here's the thing. I do not, and maybe it's because I'm a dude with a penis, but I do not see the C word as being. But I get that women could be offended by it. I honestly think women who are offended of it more likely to be it. look forward to those emails. Yeah. But
now there goes your invitation to Christmas dinner.
I know, right?
Now.
But this so is used most in the West. And least in Alabama, Arkansas, Mississippi, and Louisiana is where they use that F word. Gosh
yes.
isn't popular anywhere.
Do you see what I mean?
Yes.
This isn't a ridiculous
This is going to be better if... nope, they're going to close strong. Heads up. Buckle up for this. But it says, gosh isn't popular anywhere, but it gets the most play in Nebraska, Texas, Oklahoma, Tennessee, and Kentucky, and the least in the Northeast.
Yeah.
And finally... What do you think the final curse word? What would they close with?
Well, I know what it ought to be, but I have a feeling there.
What should it be?
A word I'm not even going to say.
Oh, boy.
This is where we get into trouble. No, here's the thing.
I'll say it. What were you going to say? Don't say the word that you don't want to say, because whatever you are uncomfortable with saying.
No, I understand. Listen, the N word.
Oh, yeah, no, that's not on here.
Oh, then I have a rant to do once you've read whatever that is. Okay.
Well, here's what I think. I think it's because the N-word, either is not something that anybody wants to, that's too controversial for a light, you know, morning radio show type vibe, that's why they wouldn't put it out there. Or I don't think it's popularly thrown around on Twitter. Because remember, that's where all this is like social media going out.
Okay.
Interesting stat I found about Twitter, 83% of tweets are not even read. You're welcome for that. And finally, here it is. Motherfucker. It's biggest in West Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and New Hampshire, and the least popular in Idaho and North Texas. So you don't say motherfucker if that's where you live for that.
All right, I'm going to cry foul.
You're going to cry foul.
I am going to cry foul because there's no way that the N-word appears less often wherever than gosh or some of these other things they included. And more to my point, even if it appears once, it creates a percentage.
That's true. But I'm saying I think it would be much more likely for people to say the word, oh my gosh.
Yes.
Or even using it like, because I think in gosh is a Midwestern kind of vernacular, but it's not a curse word.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, like, yeah, technically some of these aren't actually curse words.
Because I've told that story, right? Have I told the story about the band guy from Minnesota? On the show? Oh, this is great. Buckle up for this one. This is a good one. And then, but first, before we get into that, in the chat room, this is just awesome phrasing here.
Yes.
Aaron from El Paso.
Yeah.
Says, I've lived in the Midwest, East Coast, and currently along the border. I pretty much use them all. Yeah, Aaron, it's because you fucking live everywhere. That's why you still fit into the survey. I love it. All right.
Now, before your story, let me just finish my point, which is that... If they're going to use the derogatory F word, if they're going to include that, then they have to include the other, or they themselves are making a statement about how okay it is to put it in there.
Maybe it's more topical right now. I mean, they can get married, so they're, you know what I mean? Here's what has to, there's a sequence to things. So
the ends can also get married.
I wonder what generation is the cutoff, because technically the ends can still get married. No, I'm saying you and I should be able to say that word.
And marry an F.
Not in my yard. I don't know what that means. Why do we have to be Southern? Here's the thing. I could be Southern because I was raised by Southern redneck wolves.
Oh, okay.
You grew up in New York, so what you did was offensive to Southern people.
But my,
you don't have any Southern. You have a Southern friend. You're fine. Sort of. By
some
way of Northern California.
My best friends were Southern. No. No. My father grew up in West Virginia. So I'm I'm descended from rednecks and trash.
When you say that, though, try not to say it so derogatorily. Just so, I'm just saying.
Listen, if they knew how to operate machinery, even light machinery,
more respectful.
Yeah, but they can't be listening to us. They don't even have laptops.
One of them is very handy with knives and meat. I'm just saying. Hey, Butcher Drew, do you want to come handle Paco and his business?
All right.
All right, keep sleep with one eye open is all I'm saying. I don't think those cats can be safe. You're going to find them in cold cuts in the morning.
Then I would have started sooner.
But here's my story. So I was at a comedy club in Des Moines, Iowa, and they have like a lobby part where they'll have bands play and stuff, and there was a band there before the show in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is cool. You know, what's your favorite band that's come through? She goes, well, I don't have a favorite band, but I had this favorite moment where this guy who was in the band was there. And I asked him, because they're just mostly cover bands, obviously.
Yeah.
So I go, do you guys have groupies as well? And he goes, yeah. He goes, chicks love guys that could play music.
Yeah.
And then he goes, my favorite groupies, though, are the ones in northern Minnesota. Because their accents are so awesome. He goes, I took this chick back to the hotel room, and this is what she said to me. Oh my gosh, your cock feels so good. Isn't that the best?
That is.
Your cock feels so good. Oh God. Oh, and Natalie, when I told Natalie that story, she goes, oh, that would be annoying. And I go, I kind of be honest, that's a little bit of a turn on. I ain't gonna lie. I think this guy's onto something. So I'm just saying, if you're a chick listening from Fargo, just get a little more pillow talk in the lovemaking. You could be done with it sooner. If it's one of those moments where you're just throwing him a bone to shut him up for a couple weeks,
right?
Just hit him with the, oh, your cock feels so like a, oh, my vagina is like a hot dish. Oh, just, that's right. Stir that casserole.
Oh, my God. Now I'm not interested in casserole.
Scott Beeson coming up right after this article. Scientists in Oregon have developed bacon-flavored seaweed. What grows quickly is packed with protein, has twice the nutritional value of kale, and tastes like bacon. The
My
answer?
Dick.
Hey-o! Come on now.
Oh, sorry. Did I step on you?
No, you didn't. The answer, according to scientists at Oregon State University, is a new strain of seaweed they recently patented. Dulse is a form of edible seaweed that grows wild along the Pacific and Atlantic coastline. It's harvested and commonly used by people in dried form as a cooking ingredient or nutritional supplement. But OSU researchers, go Ducks, I guess, say the variety they've developed can be farmed and eaten fresh with the potential for a new industry for Oregon. Scientists have been trying to develop a new strain of seaweed for more than 15 years. Their original goal was to create a superfood for commercially grown abalone, a mollusk prized in Asia. They're trying to feed abalone bacon-flavored seaweed? Is this like when they were trying to cure blood pressure and then they gave us hard-ons? Is that what this is really happening?
I'm still hung up on how you can patent something that grows naturally.
Yeah, that's called playing God. And he's going to be pissed at you.
Yeah.
The strain of Dulse they came up with, which looks like translucent red lettuce, is a great source of minerals, vitamins, and antioxidants, not to mention protein. The abalone grew exceedingly quickly when fed the Dulse, and an abalone operation in Hawaii is now using the seaweed on a commercial scale. But after a product development team at OSU's Food Innovation Center created new foods with Dulse, researchers began to think humans might benefit a lot more. Among the most promising foods created were a Dulse-based rice cracker and salad dressing. Mmm. And bacon-tasting strips, which are fried like regular bacon to bring out the flavor. And this is what I love is that it can't taste like real bacon. So I guess we're just, I don't know. Maybe when I hit a certain age and I have to eat bacon seaweed, then I'm like, I'm glad they made bacon seaweed because my cholesterol is so bad I can't even have turkey bacon.
Right.
You know,
right.
And I would much rather have this than just eat the seaweed raw.
Is that being done by scientists or is it being done for commerce? Because I can't imagine.
I think it's both. I think it's being done by scientists in the hopes of saying, hey, look, we have bacon flavored seaweed and you could just get a quick flash in the pan.
Yeah, I sort of
for something like that.
Feel like they should all just
fail.
We
doing on time.
Fail.
Oh, we're doing great. I want to share this story because I always like this kind of stuff. Again, behavior. Scottish waiters stop wearing kilts why do you think they would stop wearing kilts? It's a Scottish restaurant, and they're like, we're not wearing kilts anymore. I know it's the traditional garb.
Oh, not wearing kilts.
We're not wearing kilts anymore. We're going to knock it off.
Because here's the thing. I just to sort of backtrack a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in a kitchen, in a restaurant kitchen,
yeah,
you got to wear a hairnet.
Mm.
And you've seen guys with little beard nets that go over the ears and then.
So what about?
Yeah. Yep. Were they wearing, that's what I'm thinking, is short and curlies in the casserole. That's what I'm thinking.
Are we still talking about that Midwestern or Northern Minnesota chick?
Yeah.
Well, fed up with being constant. This is what it was. You could have something to do. Fed up with being constantly groped by women, the waiters of Scottish pub Hootenanny. It's in the name. In Inverness, Scotland, I guess, have decided to stop wearing kilts. That's a pretty big deal since Hootenanny staff have been wearing tartan to match the traditional Scottish atmosphere ever since the place opened. But now, which was this last April, by the way. Mm-hmm. But now the guys say that they're being sexually harassed by female revelers who lift up their kilts to check if they are true Scotsmen. Now, here's what I find interesting.
Yes.
I wonder, because I think all of us can listen and go, so a chick gropes your ass every once in a while.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, big, big whoop. But I think if it actually was happening, you know what I mean? Then we can actually empathize with some of the women who get the cat. It was great. I saw a couple of old dudes standing on the sidewalk, and there was a chick who was not old, but not like a 20-year-old. She was in their accessible range.
Okay.
They were like, I couldn't hear what they were saying, but I could just tell from the body language that they were laying, hey, baby, what's the limit? Like, they were just hitting her with everything they had. And I've always been curious about that behavior because there at least has to be 200 times that has to be a girl who turns around and goes, oh, really? Like, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
Because I feel like if
the
it
return
never,
on investment, the ROI for
the
that,
ROI
is
for that
not,
has to be in the black. Otherwise, it wouldn't exist.
You didn't
exist.
Say they were black to begin with, so
they were. Oh, but okay. So that's just a coincidence, though, serendipitous, if you would. But the
very good.
I'd learn from you. According to Hootenanny assistant, so here's my point. So getting back to this, is it that A, they feel like, oh my gosh, this is offensive? Because I'm sure that the single ones are like, big whoops, so somebody's honking on my honker every once in a while. Or is it that, you know, married guys are like, now my wife won't let me work at this restaurant where I make good money because I got a tight ass because she's worried about being groped?
Yeah.
Or is it that, listen, now we're dealing with a double standard.
Yeah.
You know, I should be able to go to Hootenanny's across the street and reach up some tight shorts while I'm getting some chicken wings.
I'm sure it's not because they want it to be a level playing field. First of all, cocktail waitresses for generations women have been mauled at their places of work. I mean, so this is nothing new. That's number one. Number two.
So you're saying women have been grandfathered in. I get you.
No,
I'm with you. Tracking.
Right.
Bring back those days is what you're saying. Gotcha.
Right. Okay. Yes.
Slap a dicky covered ass in an Outback. And by that, I mean the pants. I get you.
So first, and then, you know, the whole thing where you go, if she was asking for it, mm-hmm. Look at the way she was dressed.
Did I say that?
No, but I'm just saying one says.
Okay, gotcha.
In cases where someone says, oh, I was assaulted, you go, yeah, but look,
look at what she was wearing.
Look at what she was wearing. Well, once again, when you have an outfit that historically has had this idea built into it that we're not wearing anything under here, can you imagine if there were women who did that? Men would have constantly be turning them upside down. It wouldn't just be that they would be lifting the thing. They would be like rotating her.
It would be an Instagram trend is what you're saying.
Exactly. So that's
because that's what they say. But the reason the women are groping them is to see if they really are being true Scotsmen
exactly.
and not wearing underwear.
Or pulling it up just to catch a glimpse.
Oh, they didn't say that. They just said they were reaching
I thought they said
there.
Flashing.
No.
Oh,
that's just you and your imagination.
No. Somewhere you said something that made me think that.
No, I don't think so.
All right. Well,
being recorded.
I think my last, I'm going to come and read that. I'm going to pour over that. The last thought I had was, you know how like when the handsome guy in the office says, hey, baby, good morning to you. You go, she goes, yeah, that's
what
fine.
Offices are you working at? Are these all TV shows?
No. But then when the troll-like guy says, hey, good
yes, I see what you're saying. If John Hamm says, hey, baby, good morning, not as offensive.
HR doesn't get involved.
Right.
But if I say it, we're all in a very serious meeting.
But goes, how are you doing today? Hey, easy, back off there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, so along those same lines, my guess is that if we were to take the gentlemen who were pushing forward with this idea and then we took a tape measure, we would find that those guys are coming up short.
Oh.
And that the guys with the giant wieners and no underwear right. are not
like
in the
Zac
front
Efron
of the line complaining.
Has no problem getting into a pool shirtless, but I would kind of be like, oh, geez, I'm sorry, guys. And I would take my shirt off. You know right. what I mean? That kind
yes.
of thing.
Yes.
So if I'm rocking a.
I'm sorry you'd apologize as you take your shirt off.
Yeah, don't you? Okay. I do all the time, wherever I go. If I have to disrobe, sometimes I do it to my wife. I said, I'm right. sorry. I can't. I got to get in the shower. And I just apologize.
I should take a page from your book.
I thought everybody did that. That's just me.
Yes, exactly.
Uncomfortable.
Right. It's not. Zach is not going to complain when the shirts and skins game breaks out.
Yeah. No. He's like. Right. He's like. I'll be shirts. Like. No. 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 Come on. That's. Let's be honest.
Right.
Let's be. Even I am a straight dude, but I would much rather see you than Jerry over there.
Yeah.
I think what you're saying is that. But if a guy is rocking a mandingo, what's the log throw that they do in Scotland for this? You know, is there a name for that?
Yeah, there is, but I don't know what it
whatever
is.
Whatever that is.
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever you just Googled on your phone while you're listening to this, put that word in there because it'll be extra funny.
There you go.
It'd be funny if it's just called a log throw.
Yeah.
But it's not.
In some places.
It's not. But so if you're doing that, then you're like, yeah, squeeze away. Like, you don't have to reach very high. You're
yeah,
welcome.
Right. That's right.
I like the idea, too. I would wear a fake one, get one of those cyber skin ones that hangs kind of limp.
Caber toss.
Caber toss. Thank you. See, that yeah. would have been a good word. you know, if I would put one of those in there, because I feel like, I don't know.
Which so you'd put what in there?
I put like one of those cyber skin like dongs,
oh,
something
yeah,
that
yeah.
felt real but was kind of, you know, and I would that way when they reached up in there and grabbed something
yeah.
that it would almost frighten them back. You know, something
right,
maybe get
right.
one of those like put some knobs in it or something
yes.
just like so they think it's pierced heavily and just something that makes them go what the hell was that kind of
right,
thing. I think
right.
that would be fun. All right, well this is we got to do this and then moment of the week where but I wanted to say this cuz I found it just before we went on the air. A school bans spicy Doritos after they cause student to stop breathing. A school in the UK has banned Doritos roulette chips after a student ate one and nearly stopped breathing, according to The Independent. The chips, which are also sold in Canada and are apparently banned in the US, are nacho cheese flavored, but some are coated with a spicy flavoring. This is why they call it roulette. Flavoring that will leave you close to tears. The spicy chips, which are said to be 10 times hotter than a jalapeno, and the regular chips look exactly the same. So there is no way to identify which chip is which. This is something wrong with guys. Girls, I don't think, do this kind of stuff. Because at first when I read the headline and kind of read the gist of the story,
yeah.
I did not notice that they were called roulette chips.
Right.
I thought that was just some kind of flavor or spice that I was not aware of. But
yeah.
the idea of,
yeah,
now I get why
one.
These are a thing. Where it's like, listen, we're gonna sit down. It's
yeah.
not exciting.
Right.
It's like what guys who play World of Warcraft do as their version of base jumping. You know what I mean? Like guys who actually jump off of
yes.
buildings and have helicopters.
Yes.
You know where you got to get in a helicopter to
yeah,
go snowboarding.
Yeah, yeah.
Those guys don't need fucking roulette chips. They
no.
They, you know what I mean? When they come down off of that, they just bang whatever hot snowboarder who's stoned out of her mind next to them. But. If you are a guy who plays World of Warcraft and you need to amp up, life in the basement,
yeah.
that's what you do. You eat some roulette chips and wash them down with some.
So really, they mean Russian roulette chips, but they're leaving out the word Russian.
I think they can't use Russian because the spice is Mexican in nature, and that
that's
seems
funny.
Weirdly racist.
But I mean, that's what roulette is referencing. It's not referencing the game that goes around.
Yeah, it's Mexican roulette is what I think we have to call it. Whatever that would be.
That's funny.
Yeah.
And they say he stopped breathing, but they don't say whether or not he started breathing again subsequent to that.
I did not read the
I think the headline might be child dies eating Doritos.
Yes.
But
because, stops breathing could be implied that also means like permanently.
Yeah, right.
Kids with known respiratory conditions should probably not be eating super spicy chips in the first place. Quoted someone we don't know who. They didn't quote this person. It's just a random quote in the middle of the article.
That's funny. That's what everyone who's reading it thought.
That's what it means when it's not cited.
Yeah.
This is what you're thinking and we know it.
Right.
We just Karnak'd your ass. The 14-year-old student, who apparently already had a pre-existing respiratory condition, had severe difficulty breathing after he ate a spicy chip. Though, to be fair, kids with known respiratory... Oh, it says it again. The school sent home a cautionary note to parents warning against the chip. A Dorito spokesperson tells The Independent, "We were sorry to hear about what happened. We do warn people to expect a seriously spicy experience with Doritos Roulette, and we make this clear on the pack." I like, just let me change this guy's voice, because I think if you're the spokesperson for Doritos, you cannot sound like me. You have to be like, "Hey, we were sorry to hear about what happened." I mean, we do warn people to expect a seriously spicy experience with Doritos Roulette, and we make this clear on the pack. The spokesperson adds the bag.
That was awesome.
The bag warns that chips are not recommended for young children. Could you be more ambiguous? You're already using fun words like experience as opposed to death or near life or near loss of life.
Mm-hmm.
Or absence of intake of oxygen. While Doritos Roulette chips are not available stateside, Americans have access to a number of other Doritos innovations. Last week, Burger King announced that it was testing Doritos Loaded Triangles, a.k.a. Doritos. What the fuck? Doritos Loaded Triangles? The chip company's take on mozzarella cheese sticks. Well, then it's a mozzarella. Don't call it a triangle. Don't make a triangle-shaped mozzarella cheese stick. It's a stick.
It's a Dorito. They're all triangles.
Last November, Pepsi confirmed that it was testing a Doritos-flavored Mountain Dew. And that's what's happening.
Well,
and the reason I read this is because, and we talked about it a little bit before we turned on the microphones, is that this, I think, is where we're in the, this is jumping the shark. Of when I was a kid, we had the Warhead candies.
Yeah, yeah.
That you, that's when sour candies.
Sour, had, and now it's
and then
moving
it became
over
atomic fireballs. Like something that was normally for enjoyment that you weren't, it's not like, why aren't we doing this to things that we should be eating, like Brussels sprouts? Let's make
like
some
seaweed.
Fucking... Yeah, seaweed, bacon-flavored seaweed.
Right.
We need roulette Brussels sprouts and a, you know, bird's eye needs to get on this. And the Jolly Green Giant need to make some crazy spicy Brussels sprouts,
is,
broccoli.
You know
everybody
what?
Gets their vitamin B. They don't
ding,
have
ding,
to
ding.
Use St. John's wort anymore to feel happy. Vitamin B's elevating their overall moods. It's a win-win.
You know, you're absolutely right that it's all that actually, I'm not even sure you were saying this, but it's shifting off of the sour and now they're going into this spicy area. I wonder to what extent that is influenced by the ginormous influx of people who enjoy spicy foods into these great land of ours. But quite aside from that, Chad would love this. I'm going to see if I can get some.
AKA,
sneak some.
Got to get some on the Amazon.UK.
Yeah, because he's always like, when you go, oh, it's kind of hot, or it's kind of whatever you say it is, that's scary, whatever.
And did you ever think you would live in a world where something would be banned in the U.S., but totally fine in England?
I didn't think I would live in a world where people could hear me talking to you. So, no, that's funny, though. Yeah, no, it's banned here. That's a pretty good sign that if we're not willing to sell it, there's something seriously wrong with it.
That it's like, maybe England, not so uptight, like we thought. Maybe they are closer to train spotting than everybody assumed. You know what I mean? Maybe it's a little crazier over there than what was originally implied. I don't know what I'm talking like.
I don't know either.
Jerry Seinfeld. All right, let's do some moment of the week. You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally, they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
All
right, you are up, my good sir.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I got my notes here. Remember I was talking about notes?
Oh, yeah.
I'm getting to that age where I got to write something down or I'm not going to remember.
No, you're a professional.
All right. So it's funny because this little page that has the note that I'm going to tell you also has a list of my medications on it. speaking of getting old. All right.
So after the podcast, I'll show you how to make separate notes on your phone.
Please do, yeah. It has every thought I've ever had while I own the phone. I just put it all in the same file.
You know somebody's grandfather has done that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, so here's the thing. This is another one of the patented Baco, not really a moment of the week, moment of the weeks. But I couldn't resist sharing it with you. I was over at a local, doesn't really matter, but it was a bagel place getting, I'm sure bagels, a different bagel for everybody is probably what I was getting over there. But at least it's one-stop shopping. And, and so.
What would be more annoying if bagels were the one thing that everybody would eat the same thing of? Right. Like if you said, hey, I'm thinking bagels. Anybody want everything, everything, everything? You got to be fucking kidding me.
Right. It's the only. Anything like. So.
But cream cheeses had to be separate. Well.
Oh, that's funny.
So I was standing in line for that. And it's fairly crowded. I mean, there's three or four people in line in front of me. And this is a place that maybe holds 30 people when it's full. And it's maybe got 20 something people in it at a bunch of different tables in groups and whatever. You understand how people sit down in a public restaurant. I don't need to explain that part of it. Anyway.
I like that you said that to me condescendingly. Like you said, you understand. Like you still had the tone of like, you fucking moron.
Right.
Like, I don't know why this is breaking bad for me.
I'm talking.
But then I remembered other people are listening.
Yeah. I'm condescending to me. In any case, this kid walks up to me. And he wants my help, and he's got like a digital watch, which apparently he had only just received.
An Apple Watch?
No, not an Apple Watch. No, something that might have. I don't know where it came from, but okay. It's one of these ones you have to hold in a button on one side, and you click a button somewhere else. You kind of, yeah. if you're as old as I am, you've lived through ones like this before.
If you were around during the trend of swatches, you know, yeah, how to
sort
set
of,
time
sort
on
of like
that.
A thing. Sometimes you used to have to put it like a paper clip into a hole.
Oh,
and it was
yeah,
a whole
yeah.
stupid thing. Crazy.
Now it's just you hold it up to the internet and it corrects
yeah,
it.
Yeah, right.
It.
But in this case, he had sort of the old style digital watch. I want to say it wasn't expensive. So I was like, yeah, I can probably sort that out. So as I was kind of figuring it out, you know, and he as I'm doing it, he's going, what time is it? He's going around to other people in the room.
So you can set the
yeah,
time.
Yeah, so I get the time spot on. I'm wearing a watch. We can
How old is this
mind.
Kid, would you say?
He's probably 8.
Okay.
He's yeah. He was 23.
And where is this, at Target?
But he was functionally retarded.
Oh, Jesus.
Sorry. Sorry, everybody. No. He was a cunt. Anyway, so... in any case, he's a very sweet little boy. What time is it? You know, hey. So I'm getting that fixed up for him. I had to take it off his wrist in order to get, he had it on his wrist, but I couldn't quite.
Is this at Target or what?
No, this is at the bagel place. That's how
oh, gotcha. I'm sorry.
That's how the story that started so long ago
my
that
bad.
You forgot.
I'm going to just mute my mic.
So anyway, I set it to the time. I put it back on his wrist. And I sent him on his way. But while it was happening, I just thought, I was just felt like, that's kind of cool that here's this room, it's full of people. And he came to me. He didn't go to a woman. He didn't go to any other man. As I'm doing it, I'm going, isn't he with someone? Couldn't they be the ones who are doing this? And then I thought, maybe he's with his mom. Just thinking about Doreen and how she would go, I don't know how to do this.
Find a stranger.
Go find a stranger.
Not one with candy.
So
if there's a place where you can trust people, it's a bagel shop, son.
Right. So my own children won't talk to me in public or otherwise. But so I was taking some amount of...
You're having moments of the week with random strangers
with
now.
Random strangers. Gotcha. And so that would have been the end of it. And I would have come in and told you that if he hadn't come back over to me and said, I think this is broken. And I looked back down at it and it looked weird. And I thought, no, he's put it back on upside down. But it was something like... The time was one of those weird times, like 12:12, or you know, something where
look, yeah.
it could look like it's right. And I said, "No, you just have it upside down." I put it back. He put it back on, and so I scored two moments
yeah.
just from that one kid. So
with
I'm like,
kid.
"Well, now I'm his go-to guy. He's the one who knows." So I'm like, "I think," I said, as we were doing it, I said, "Yeah, sometimes these kind of watches don't last long or whatever." Because I'm the second time, I'm thinking, "What cereal box did this thing come out of? I don't know where it came from," and. And so now I'm almost basically getting ready to order. Out of the corner of my eye, I kind of see him, and he's actually with this elderly guy. It's like the grandpa and the kid, and the grandpa there's like paper, like wrapping paper. He had been gifted this thing by his grandfather, this little watch. And I hear him going, is this a real watch? And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Grandpa got called out on a cheap ass fucking piece of shit watch he bought for the kid. I got my stuff. I got in my car. I'm pulling out of the spot. They come out, watch, paper, package, everything into the trash.
Are you serious?
Yes, the grandpa threw it all away.
Wow. And you know what's crazy is that if this was a, like if he would have bought one of those like $10 Ninja Turtle watches that never really worked, like he wouldn't have cared what time it was.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like known. He would have just worn that forever. My son has lost like three of those. Like they've died or whatever because my mom always buys them the Ninja Turtle ones or whatever. I'm going to check my notes because I had, let's see, did that. Yep, did that. Okay, good. So this is one. I think I mentioned it earlier this week. They're all blending together on a quickie or maybe before. But Natalie had a company picnic that we went to.
I sort of remember a company picnic, yeah.
And so they – wait, did you hear me talking about it on this show or was it a quickie you listened to? I hope not.
Oh,
otherwise,
anyway.
Even better than Years with a Stranger is me resharing the same one. My senile days will begin because it was fun because Natalie and Jacob wanted to play bingo. And Jack wanted to go swimming.
Never heard this.
So we go upstairs. They have like a pool area. Well, at this pool is the most amazing thing. This is like this day camp thing that companies rent out on the weekend up in Malibu.
Yeah.
And Jennifer Aniston was there. George, no, I'm kidding. The, so we go up there and we climb to the...
I was going to say the week before.
4 years before. Are you kidding me? So we go up there to the top and it's got this cool slide that easily takes 1, 2, 3, 4 turns before you come and you hit this little 3.5-foot catching pool kind
of
thing.
Yes, actually now I do know this story. Yeah. I believe you told it on the air, but maybe you're telling a different part of it.
So what was great was is that Jack and I got to have this time where we go up there and I easily walked up and down these stairs 5,000 times. No exaggeration. Like, no joke, for an hour and 45 minutes, I walked up the stairs with Jack and then went down the slide and then try to do the cool thing of like, hey, you want to try out the pool? Just kind of hang out? No, let's do the slide.
The redirect. Yeah. And is he charging up the stairs himself? Or he's the carrier.
No. Because that would have been where I drew the line. I'm like, listen, if we're just so stupid. Like, hey, if your 4-year-old legs can't handle it, then fuck you. Moment of the week, everybody.
That's right.
So anyway, so I go up there, we do it a ton, and then now Jacob shows up. Now Jacob wants to go down the slide, but Jacob, very different child than Jack.
Yeah.
We get up to the top, and I think I'm going to go with Jacob because Natalie's new at this. And I said, well, Jack's fine.
Right.
I said, when you get to the end of the slide, you have to lift him up above the waterline so that you're not putting the child who does not know how to hold his breath or really swim underwater. Right.
Because she's now handling Jack.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
So they go down. They let us go down first. Jacob is very... Jack was like, let's go. Because it's interesting the older you get how more aware you become of mortality.
Yes.
So the 4-year-old body is like, fuck it, let's do it. He doesn't care. 6-year-old person is like, hang on, what? But wants to have fun at the same time.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to maneuver... He doesn't know I'm trying to maneuver my arms so that I can lift him up above the water when we go in.
Right.
But he thinks that he doesn't understand gravity and Newton's laws yet. And cut that shit in kindergarten. Hopefully in first grade they will, because I'm tired of parenting. But anyway, he thinks that as soon as I'm not touching him, he's just going to accelerate faster and leave me behind, I guess. I don't know what he's thinking. But
you're his anchor.
Yeah, it's not a time loop.
Tether,
what are you doing?
Yeah.
So we go in there and I get him and I hold him above the water and everything's fine. And then Jack and Natalie come down. Natalie hits the water, holding Jack like he's in one of those baby Bjorns.
Oh my God.
Head first into the water. She keeps her head above water. Jack's on.
Right.
And she's like, this is fun.
Oh my God. That's
get up,
funny.
Honey. Get up.
That's funny.
And Jack, very different.
She went Jack first into the water.
She did. And Jack, very different than Jacob. Like, he just kind of, like, he's like trying to cough for air. And we put him outside the pool and literally in his 4-year-old frame does like the head on the knees, like he's been doing two-a-days for, all summer. And he's just like, are you okay, Jack? He's like, just give me a minute.
Because he was trying to get the water out of his lungs.
So now I've been given Jack duty. Mom cannot handle it. And I said, well, Jacob's bigger, so he right. actually could stand up and at least be collarbone level under the water, so you don't have to lift him up. Because she goes, well, I go under. My wife did not understand the concept of putting your feet down and standing up as soon as you get out.
Or that you're the parent, so you don't get to do what you want.
Right, right. Well, maybe I think she obviously understood that, but I don't know. Maybe not. But it's just interesting. I always like these moments where I am more like the mother and she is more like the father. She's like, just, this is fun, and doesn't care about the child's safety or anything.
Right.
But because I'm still a dad, I didn't think he was traumatized by any means. Well, cut to Jack. So now Jack and I are going to go. Natalie comes down with him, but Natalie goes first with Jacob. Jack and I hit the water. I come up. Natalie's got Jacob next. He's like clinging to the side of the water, screaming bloody murder.
Oh my
God. Because she had taken him underwater. And I was like, what happened? And she goes, he went under for like a half a second and he's freaking out. So I'm like trying to calm him down and chill him out. And then we get him calm. And well, then we go up there. Now we're going to go.
Maybe he saw a policeman. He might have put him over the edge.
He thinks she's going to the hoosegow.
Yeah.
So we're going upstairs now, and so I'm kind of briefing her. I'm like, this is what you do, because I have already had 2.5 hours of experience of going down a slide with a kid. So we get up to the top. Well, now we get to the top, and nobody will go down with mom. She's like, they're like, I go, well, Jack, you go with mom. She goes, he goes, nope.
Right.
And then Jacob, no way, no how, is going down with mom. So mom goes down by herself, and then I have the idea we're going to three-way it. So I sit down, put Jacob on my lap. Jack goes on Jacob's lap.
Yes.
And I did mention this on the quickie episode I did about this, where I said that kudos to the kid who was running. Like, he sits there all day and goes, you can go. You can go.
Right.
And he could have easily been a shit whistle and said, no, no, and then made me walk all the way down. Yeah. You know what I mean? But he just kind of leaned close to me and said, just so you know, this is the only time you could do three people. I go, no problem. Thank you.
Right.
So we go down. But now I have the added difficulty, and I didn't realize this until about the exit of turn one. It was when I go, I have to find a way to shimmy my hands so that I can one-handed lift each of them up, but not pull them. I have to get under the arm and rib cage and lift them up so that I could get underwater.
Like lifting the Stanley Cup.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. So I'm coming down, and then Jack is just, he's pretending to drive a car. Now we're actually running what is a real summer luge, because now we're a three-man team, and we're going down. Jack is pretending to drive the wheel through the turns. Jacob is on my lap. I'm trying to maneuver my hand. He's resisting me, not wanting me to let go. It's just like this whole thing.
Yeah.
And we come around the corner, and Jacob goes, there's water! There's water! Which is hilarious, because we're on a water slide, son. There's water everywhere.
There's always water.
It's just that is deeper.
Yeah.
So I quickly shimmy out, and this is what I love about it, is that I fall into the water. I go under, water up my nose.
Absolutely.
But I'm fully extended, like Mary Lou Retton at the end of my floor routine, or whatever her name was. You know what I mean? The little short girl with the short bob hair.
Yes, that was Mary Lou Retton.
I'm doing the touchdown with the kids in the hand. So I'm like, I'm gymnastic dismount, kids in the air, barely able to breathe myself. And Natalie's just sitting there having the time of her life. She had just landed. She's like, like, look at the kids.
Right, right.
Kids, both of them, heads above water, absolutely nailed it.
Right.
But now no one will go on the slide.
No, that's at the end.
So Jack goes. But it was just, it was cool because, especially, I have a part-time job. So especially because, you know, Natalie and I have been doing what everybody who listens to this show, I imagine their real lives have been. And that we've been doing the ships passing in the night. And so you have this moment where you're just hanging out at a pool at a company party. You had some good barbecue and everybody's just kind of goofing around with each other and having a good time. And so that was the part that I was like, we get to go down the slide, have this fun thing. We almost drowned some kids. That's fun for us, you know, because they're pains in the ass. So sometimes you like to have them tortured a little bit.
Right.
And so it was just an all around good day. And to kind of button it, what was interesting is I know I joke a lot about the show, and I know somebody already said that I need some perspective, and I know that that's just teasing, but you know,
somebody, I've got perspective, you fucker.
Yeah, somebody said to me, you know, well, yeah, now you kind of know how lucky you've been because you've been able to be, you know, home all the time and everything.
Yeah.
And I go, you know, I want to make it clear because I think it's I think it's unfair to not only people who are stay-at-home parents, but it's also unfair for people who work because they have to, for it to be conceived as being lucky or anything like that. I don't think that I'm better than anybody else that because I was home. I think I'm worse than a lot of other people. No, but the reality of it is that Natalie and I kind of made a choice, and it worked out that my job, you know, I could make some pretty good money without having to put in a lot of hours. And so that's really what lent itself in that I had to work pretty hard to be able to make all that happen. And I bring all this up because I had a conversation with my dad. I was having a little bit of a freak out because there's just a lot going on. And he pointed out to me that he's like, you know, he said, here's the thing. He goes, nothing against Natalie. He goes, but, you know, you've been kind of doing a lot. And he goes, now you have less time to do the a lot that you've been doing.
Yeah.
And so you have to be aware of that. And why am I bringing all this up in a moment?
Don't you have a violin you could be playing?
No, I don't. I don't think so. I have. So the reason I bring this up is because I think it's important that you take. I can't even do it.
No, you can't. No.
I have this. No, the I just saw this.
Oh, she's over it. I want to put my dick in it.
Oh, I'm so hot. So anyway, so there's the thing. I just wanted to say this for the guys that are out there listening. In case you just need a little bit of a reminder, I think honestly, and I do believe this, that a lot of people who listen to the show, you get it, and that you guys are very much in love with each other and yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. But if you are the guy who works and you got a lady who takes care of you, or if you are the lady who works and you got a guy who takes care of you at home, just take a moment to go home, give him a little hug. If that's up to you, I think you should give him a little something extra. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I'm just saying maybe put on your spelunking cap, fellas,
ding, and go down.
Yeah, right? Say it.
That's right.
Yes. And but just take a moment to say thanks and appreciated it, that I appreciated it, blah, blah, blah. So there we go. I'm going to put that soapbox away. Get down off of this high horse. There we
now,
go.
Now, speaking of your kids, are they around today?
Oh, shit. We got to go. Stay frosty, everybody. No, they're at school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I took them to the school. My work hours have changed now, so I take them to the school.
I heard something
in the
about a part-time job, I want to say.
Was it me?
Oh, okay.
Was it? Have I brought that up on this show?
No, I must be thinking of someone else.
I do so many shows at my part-time job, sometimes I
get
them crossed.
It's just that they hadn't come in here yet, and I was starting to get worried about them.
No, I tie them in there.
It was either that. Little zip tie, trip over to the Lowe's.
No, we're going to have a fun afternoon there. Preschool, they're getting pizza today at the preschool, and then I'm going to pick them up after, if we do. I just got a text from Chris who said he might not be able to make it either. Maybe we'll do it. If I can't do the episode with Chris, I'm going to go pick him up, and we're going to go see Ant-Man.
Oh, you know afternoon. What? I think Diego's seeing that with his girlfriend.
Yeah.
They won't be watching it.
Yo, well, that's not the one I want. Well, that's what she'll be doing, and then he'll be.
That's right.
All right. So, before we wrap up, on a side note, why is somebody saying drink? Are you guys playing a drinking game?
They have been hammering drinks, I think.
Are you serious? That is awesome. Kudos to you guys. I don't know what it is. Don't tell me. I don't want to know what it is that initiates a drink, but I'm guessing it's whenever I hit a button or.
Uh-oh.
There you go. Have another drink.
I'm about to whip somebody's ass.
That's all you get of that, because I'm going to torture you. So anyway, the thing I want to say, too, is that if you would like to hear me get my ass handed to me on terrestrial radio, then you should tune into the Tim Conway Jr. podcast Wednesday night during, I believe it is the 8 o'clock hour. There are 3 hours of the show that they put out as a podcast. It's available on iTunes, and it should be available on Stitcher as well. But I had a flub up. And there was a big kerfuffle, as I have learned to call it, about it. And so you can hear the aftermath of that. And I think good times will be enjoyed for the listeners of this show.
You have to know that I need to listen to that.
Somebody pointed out to me that when I do the show with Chris, is that, and it's interesting to me because I'm not aware of it. I don't do it consciously, but I guess there is a different vibe between who I am on this show, who I am on the show with Chris. And so I could only imagine what the difference is in the vibe over there.
Right.
I could only imagine what it could be, but it was a fun time, and I got in trouble. So there's that, and I think that's it. Oh, we need questions for Dr. Rachel now, not Dr. Rachel. Maybe she is a doctor. She's a doctor to me, a doctor of love.
Yes.
Can you use that?
Love doctor.
So Rachel Gibbs is going to be next. We've got some great questions. Very wonderful mom had some very interesting emails sent in, and I already responded because I could not wait, but give her some feedback.
Hold
but
your tongue.
I'm really dying to hear what Rachel has to say, just to tease that as
so
much as possible.
So people write in, because then the sooner you write, the sooner we get her in here.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So send those emails in to show@thedadpodcast.com, or you can send them in via Facebook as well. I try to respond to messages there. Don't forget to join the Facebook fan page for the show, or the Dad Podcast fan page. It's Staying Frosty, the Dad Podcast fan page on Facebook, and you can go there and talk to other like-minded, awesome parents who are just cool people who are also sexy and make tons of money and are just all around affluent. They like to throw around big multi-syllabic words like irregardless every once
yes,
in a while.
Yes.
That's fun for them, just so you can know. It's like it's an adult bouncy house filled with balls and fun times. So I'm making this worse by the minute, aren't I? All of our social media handles are in the description of this episode. Don't forget to tell three people about the show, and now Paco is going to tell you about our fantastic Amazon banner.
I'm about to whip somebody's ass.
I don't know why I'm having to explain this again to you people. It's not that hard. We just had Prime Day, for God's sakes. Get over there. Click through on the Dad Podcast. Down at the bottom is an Amazon banner. It's been put there for you to find and use. Click through that. It'll take you to Amazon. That song's a lot shorter than I thought it would be. And listen, I say this with love, but this is the last time I'm going to tell you nicely that you got to go there. You got to do it. Click through. Bookmark it. Then when you go back to the site, you're going to have to send me anything home. You get. Simple things, tiny things. Get some thumbtacks.
Oh, I love thumbtacks.
Get a riding mower. Whatever it is, it's not going to cost you anything extra. It will seriously mean the world to us. And that's like I say to my own kids, this is the last time I'm going to be nice about it.
On behalf of Paco Lancini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley, this is Justin Worsham saying, hug your kids, hump your loved ones, and stay frosty, everybody.